You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello, it's Brooke Devard. Before I start this week's show, I need to share this clip. My guest, Marquise Pfeiffer, who was a fabulous guest, and I think you guys are going to love the episode, sent me this clip of Little Richard on the Dick Cavett Show in 1970. Now, to give you guys a visual, Little Richard is in full, like this lime green outfit. His face is fully made up. His hair is done to perfection. He's giving you full Little Richard. And the host asks him, "Are you wearing makeup?" Here's the clip.
If I asked you if you were wearing a certain application of cosmetics?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, are you?
Oh, yes, I wear makeup because makeup was made to brighten up, but it can't fix up.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have a beautiful nose anyway, and if makeup can make that, it didn't make my eyes. My eyes are pretty anyway.
Yes.
And so it just only lighten up and brighten up so the people can take attention to the beauty.
Liberace.
Isn't that brilliant? I love Little Richard. All right, so here's the show, the Naked Beauty Podcast. Really excited about my guest today. I have Marquise Pfeiffer with me. I'm actually not even sure how to introduce you.
It's a lot of moving parts. Yeah. We'll say Prince Jr. That's a little easier.
Prince Jr. I love that. I love that. So I don't know, where should we start? Face, body, hair? Maybe let's start at the top down.
Okay.
Let's start with hair.
Yeah.
So your hair always looks perfect and amazing. Are you getting it done all the time? Are you doing it yourself?
I do two people. One guy does my haircut, and then I do like the top.
Okay.
I used to go to this salon in Harlem, and they used to press it out real Dominican style, like
okay,
flat
one
irons.
Of those Dominican.
Rule is set. I'd not be so embarrassed because I'd be there with mothers and their sons, and here I am, this grown man sitting in the chair with rollers. And I said, you know what? As crazy as this looks, wait until you see me after.
I know, and your hair always looks amazing. Were you worried about the heat damage? Is your hair natural or is it permed?
Flat iron.
Flat iron.
So I don't use any chemicals.
Okay, good.
Everything's just flat iron, and I wrap it up every night like
yeah,
a girl, and
of course.
You know. Put my little bonnet on. Silk bonnet is amazing.
Yes.
Silk pillowcases are even better because it keeps your hair. When I first did it, I didn't have a playbook, so I was just doing it, just thinking I knew what
yeah.
I did. And I would do my hair, and then I'd have to flat iron it every day because every day I woke up, it was like a different texture.
Right.
So it wasn't until I just started learning to like wrap it up, to like preserve it. And I was watching Beyonce's mom, Tina Knowles, on her Instagram, and she went to this beauty salon, beauty supply store in New Orleans, and she was saying like silk bonnets will save your life. And they are every person's dream who has straight hair. Like, you should own a few.
Yeah. No, even with my natural hair, I wear a silk bonnet
yeah.
every single night. Like, even my husband knows. He'll be like, do you have your bonnet?
It's bonnet time.
Exactly.
It's not really sexy, but...
But you've got to preserve the sexy
with the lights off, it's all the same.
Exactly, exactly.
Sure.
And so how did you come up with this, like, amazing style? Because your style now is like the hairstyle is like... It looks like a little bit retro to me. Like, it has, like, this almost 50s look, but then it's also, like, modern. Did you see a style like this somewhere else, and you...
When I was little, I really didn't look like this. So in my mind, I had an idea of what I wanted to look like, how I wanted to dress,
mm-hmm.
how my hair wanted to be. So I just started looking at... Prince has always been
mm-hmm.
a source of relevancy in my style. He was bold. He took chances. He wore a full face of makeup.
He was amazing.
And he, you know, had girlfriends and wives. So when I saw, like, oh, makeup actually enhances your face, or, oh, if I do my hair this way, it's not like a typical haircut. And I just didn't want to be anything normal. So I just was doing it more or less like I just like the style of it.
Right.
Versus me trying to emulate
someone else. Yeah.
I think my spirit is old school. My father owns nightclubs in Houston, and I grew up in nightclubs.
Right.
So all my style is Chaka Khan, Prince, Little Richie, Anita Baker. So my spirit is old. So
right.
Me having that personal style, it just kind of went back to the way they used to do things in like the 70s. Which I think I should have been born then.
In the 70s?
Absolutely.
Remember when we met Anita Baker in LA?
Yes.
That was everything.
And she probably didn't even notice someone like me so young would know every track of hers. But yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
So you said you didn't look like this when you were younger, and I just got this mental. What did you look like when you were younger?
I was a fat kid.
What?
I was.
This is my first time. I did not know this.
I know.
You were fat?
With the same stuff for stuff like this. I was a. So my mother is like Paula Deen in the kitchen.
Okay.
Not weight wise.
And not racist wise.
Yeah, she doesn't throw the N words around. Not in my presence. But she loves cooking. It's therapeutic for her. It's the right. dark. So she will cook. Apple pies, banana puddings, banana bread, and she doesn't eat it. And she's like, oh, try this, try that. I made some, made this. So when I was younger, I wasn't an active child. I was reading Vogue under the cover and like secretly watching Destiny's Child videos. So I wasn't an actual active boy. So that food just set on me. So it wasn't until I went to military boarding school that I had to go through a month-long program of boot camp, and then the weight just fell off because I was active.
Wow.
And I've always kept it off. I mean, it's a struggle sometimes, obviously, but I just, in my mind, I had a visual picture of what I wanted to look like, the clothes I wanted to wear, how I wanted to dress, and it's just really about executing the way you see yourself.
Right. And that's so interesting, and I know we were talking about this a little bit when I told you about why I started this podcast, but I used to be really interested in fashion and clothes, and I think that fashion is interesting, but it's a really small part of the equation. Your overall, like, your look, the look that you create for yourself, is so much more about a vision or a not a character that you're creating, but I think the people that have truly great style have created a character for themselves, and I think that you have truly great style, and you have, you know, a character of yourself that you've created that you kind of express through what you wear and how you do your hair.
It's easier for me to dress up than to dress down. Mm-hmm. Dressing down for me takes too much thought. Because of my military background, I like uniforms. So I like blazers.
Right. Yeah.
But if it's more than three pieces of clothing, it's too much for me. I get anxiety and I just can't focus.
Right.
So the way that I like to operate is I like to have a set color tone. Mm-hmm. I don't do too many bright patterns. I kind of just keep it black, white, gray, blue.
Mm-hmm.
All my, you know, my boots will be Saint Laurent because I love that look.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm with a t-shirt or a blazer, I just want to have that rocker-esque feel. Harry Styles is one of my other style go-tos.
Oh, interesting.
I enjoyed him with his hair longer. It just was different.
Yeah.
But I just like his style of really, you know, getting out the bed and not really looking like you took forever. And that's why I really enjoy key blazers, whether they're double-breasted, whether they're printed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like too many outfits. I don't like to look trendy. I like to look like, you know, it's my life. It's the way that I live. So I think when you're curating looks, it is really fun to be character, because at the end of the day, you know, if I want to have on a double-breasted blazer and maybe channel Olivier from Balmain, I will, you know, get that look together. And I'll dress up going to the airport. Or going to the store.
Right, right. Like, I've never seen you dressed down.
Yeah, I mean,
even in college, you were always dressed.
Yes. I've always loved, you know, having that character being displayed in clothing. I was obsessed with Ralph Lauren for a portion of my life where I was wearing nothing but velvet slippers. And I think I was one of the first guys on campus to wear velvet red, blue slippers, and it just was natural to me. I just was obsessed with Ivy League. I think I had saw, and I don't know if you remember this movie, School Days, and A Different World. So I was like, oh, I want my college experience.
To be like that.
I forgot to mention, Whitley Gilbert is an icon.
Yes.
In collegiate, like, when I watched the old episodes, at the time I didn't really appreciate her as a style authority, but now looking back, seeing the way that she dressed it, Whitney gave you looks.
Yeah, she gave you
fur coats and gowns, and it just was so authentic and so easy. And I think just having, and then not shopping too much. I don't want a closet full of clothes.
Yes, yes. I'm so happy you said that.
Yeah.
Because when you have so much stuff, you have to focus on a few key pieces and invest in a few key pieces to create a truly great capsule wardrobe. Once you start getting into trends and you're going to Zara every weekend, it just starts to become this huge mess.
Right. Absolutely. So for me, I just try to stay true to, you know, the few items that I enjoy wearing and investing in. I went to this store and I bought black jeans and I love the way they fit. And then I bought like 4 pairs. She was like, you don't want to get a different one? I was like, no.
No, yeah.
I like these. Who knows what will happen? I just need to keep the same pieces in my closet. So, you know, I think, you know, when people have visions of what they see themselves look like, it's really just about them executing it.
Yeah, and if you think about people with great style, so like Prince or Jimi Hendrix or Diana Ross, it's not just their clothes. It's the clothes, it's the makeup, it's the hair. It's like this whole persona that's created, and everything is so integral to, like, that look.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't stop with the clothes.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so I think I have a good picture of what you were like when you were kind of growing up and how you've evolved to where you are now. So, in terms of fitness now, and I know I always joke with you that you, like, don't eat at all, but do you work out? What do you do to maintain your size zero tiny physique?
So, I don't like working out because I don't like the sweat.
Okay, because of your hair?
Yeah.
Okay. I
used to go to the gym a lot, and then every time I would leave, my hair would not be the way that when I showed up. So I said, oh, I can't do this. I can't work out like this. This is just too much. And one of my friends has this, he's a fitness trainer. His name is Roderick. He does a lot of people. He does Carl Lentz, and he used to do Justin Bieber, I believe. And I went to one of his Pilates classes, but he had no air on. And I'm like, is this? Like, it was like, I guess, hot Pilates or something. And I sweated like I've never sweated before. And I felt so embarrassed because my hair was a mess and I had to get on the train to go back home. And I just felt like I can't sweat. So typically, I just eat very small meals.
Do you, like, avoid eating carbs? It's just portion control for you?
More portion control. My diet is very interesting. For breakfast, I'd have, like, a piece of cheese and, like, 8 almonds.
Okay, that's awesome.
And then, like, a protein shake. And then I'll snack throughout the day on, like, nuts. And then I'll eat, like, 1 main dinner.
Okay, so you don't really eat lunch, it sounds like. You just kind of snack.
I kind of snack, yeah.
Sometimes lunch can, like, slow you down. Like, sometimes if I have a big lunch and then I have to, like, go get back to work, it's, like, hard.
Absolutely.
Wish that I had just eaten much lighter and then...
Yes. So for me, I don't really have a fitness regimen. I just don't really consume too many carbs.
They say that your weight, they say it's 80% what you eat and only 20% exercise. So even if you're exercising every day, but you're eating too much, it's not really going to make...
I have a lot of friends, female friends, that are always complaining about their weight. And they're like, oh, Pfeiffer, we love that you are, you know, you have... discipline, and I think it was just me going back to military school and seeing the difference. So seeing what I can do when I put my mind to something. And I think when people know better, they do better. So when you see the results, you're more able to stick to that diet that's working. So if you've never seen yourself the way that you want to see yourself, then it's kind of far out there.
Once you, like, see it and you're like, this is what my body has the potential to be, then you're not going to go back.
Absolutely. You have more energy, you look better, your clothes fit better. It's just an overall upgrade when you really take your health serious. And I don't eat as much throughout the day, but I do make sure I get my 30 grams of protein, so all of my shakes are kind of...
Oh, that's good. So you focus on the important things like protein.
Right. So I'm the type of person where I don't eat for enjoyment. I just eat because it's something you have to do. Unless it's like dinner time. Yesterday, I took a car service to Harlem because I wanted to go to this fish market that had the best, you know, and I was dressed in Miguel Antoine and Saint Laurent boots, and, you know, people in Harlem were like, oh my God, you look so fabulous. And I was like, thanks, but I'm here to get me some crab, some lobster, you know, and it was food in like a little aluminum thing. So I'll have those moments where it's like, okay, I have to have what I want. But overall, like, I kind of eat very light.
Yeah. So I love Harlem because I love that kind of sense of community and everyone kind of talks to each other.
Absolutely.
And I think Harlem is just this like very electric place. Another place where I felt that kind of sense of community was, of course, in the AEC when I went to Spelman and you were at Morehouse.
Yes.
One of the things that shocked me coming from the West Coast was how dressed up people were for, like, every single day was a fashion show. And all of the girls had their hair done, the face was beat, nails done. Like, it wasn't an option to just walk across the campus in your sweatpants and a Spelman t-shirt to go to class.
Correct.
But for me, it was like, but I'm also from New York, so I also knew how to dress up. But in terms of, like, a college atmosphere, I don't think there's, and maybe other HBCUs are like this, but I was honestly blown away by how amazing people looked on an everyday basis just going to class.
Right. I think Atlanta is like the city of Oz. I think you have people
right.
that are coming from North Carolina, Houston, these small cities. And then when you go to an HBCU and you're around like-minded individuals
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're paying all this money in tuition. So it's almost like I'm going to incorporate that knowledge and coming to class dressed up.
Right, and be my best self.
Be my best self because we have amazing places to go. We're, you know, in some of the top schools in the world. So it's almost like a disservice just to roll out of bed in sweatpants. It's like this, we're practicing for how we want to be viewed in the real world. So situations like that when you have
That's
all these different people, like, you know, a lot of those people aren't from Atlanta. They're from small cities. So it's their one time to be Dorothy and they're going to make sure they're wearing their red slippers every day. I was the type where I didn't roll out of bed even on finals because I said, what does a final have to do with my outfit?
Right.
Either I studied or not.
Right, right.
Like a blazer is not going to make a difference if I wear that or a t-shirt. Either I did the homework or I didn't. So for me, I just love dressing up because I just love, you know, essentially the style perspective of just being whatever character that you want to be. And I was obsessed or still am obsessed with, you know, having a uniform look. So
mm-hmm.
it's hard for me to dress down because I just don't get it.
Right, right. Do you think that... So when we were in college, there wasn't social... I mean, there was social media, but Instagram and Snapchat, that hadn't really taken off the way that it has now. You had your blog, Late Boots, with Sham, which basically made you... I mean, you were basically a celebrity on campus and within Atlanta. Everyone knew you, everyone... I swear to God, maybe a month ago, I met this girl. It was actually a podcast event that Spotify was sponsoring.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you look so familiar, you look so familiar. And we were going through all these different ways that we know each other. And she said she went to Howard. And it was just like, we couldn't figure out how we knew each other. And then we figured out that you were a mutual friend. She said, oh, you know why I know you? Because you're Honeybee from Late Boots. And I saw all your pictures, you know, with Marquise. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy that your, you know, your blog reached so many people. But that was even before social media. I mean, right? That was before
Correct.
Social media had really taken off. Do you think that that was a good thing that we weren't, you know, I think that, so this is what I see happening a lot, and my question's getting long now, but what I see happening a lot is I see people having fun for Snapchat. So, like, they will go, they'll, like, kind of fake dance, they'll, like, take a little video, and then they'll just go immediately back to their phone and post it, and it's like, we're having fun to show that we're having fun. Whereas when we were going out, we were actually we weren't trying to document everything in real time.
Right.
The pictures went up when they went up, maybe 2 weeks later.
Right. I think to answer your question, I think back when we were doing the blog, blogging was kind of new at the time,
mm-hmm.
and it was more or less like documenting your evening. So it wasn't in real time, so we didn't have that pressure
mm-hmm.
to immediately post anything. So essentially it was about building up a story,
mm-hmm.
coming with amazing copy, and kind of painting the night for anyone to digest it whenever they went to the blog. So I think back then we just didn't have the pressure of real time. I don't use Snapchat, I don't use Vine. It's difficult for me to use things like that because I just don't want people in my space.
Right.
Like, let me get through with the day, and then I'll let you know what I want you to know. Like, I don't want you to know where I'm at. Like, it's just not my thing. And I'm a naturally private person, and people always thought it was interesting that I had a blog that was so public, but my personal life was so private, because what I was documenting was places, people. I have amazing
right.
friends. I've had the privilege of being friends with amazing people like yourself. So the idea was for me to be... the central nucleus of showing people how to live their best life. Your life should be full with amazing friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hang out with people who you trust and who you look up to. Mm-hmm. Wear the designers that you crave. Eat at the places that make you feel good. So the mm-hmm. idea was to be an outlet of showing people, this is where you should be eating. These are the people you should be hanging out with. Not obviously all my friends, but get your own circle of people that, you know, that you look up to. So it was just a full circle way of living. And I think at the time, a lot of people of color weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the things that I was saying, I like a lot of rap music, which is awkward for some people. So my execution is very brass and very strong and very authoritative. So I was saying things that people only thought. Mm-hmm. And they, who is this guy? He has the nerve to say what we're thinking. But essentially, it was just, you know, blogging at the time was more organic. And we weren't necessarily trying to emulate anything. We were just living our authentic lives. There's times you and I when we went out to pizza places. But we had on furs. like you had on a bonnet. No, you had on a turban.
Yeah.
Like, who is this black girl with a turban on and this guy with a fur eating pizza? Like, the restaurant wasn't a 5-star. It was basic.
Actually, but so obnoxious.
We had the best time.
I know, we did have the best time.
So it was
time.
About having the best time, dressed in our best. And not necessarily at 5-star restaurants, at pizza parlors, at dive bars. But it was just really about us living life in the most fashionable way possible. So
that's
I think
true.
That blog... Hopefully, it set the tone. I went to Beyonce's concert in Houston, and I had this Asian kid come up to me with a full video camera, and he had a videographer, and he was like, oh, Marquise. And a lot of people in Houston don't really know me by Marquise Pfeiffer. So he said, oh, I went to your blog when I was in high school, and you, like, really helped. You know, he just had this heartfelt message. It was crazy.
That's
and
so
I had
nice.
No idea that, you know.
That you're touching people like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I think people just didn't know how to... find their creative outlet. And I mm-hmm. think blogging was a way for us to still be creative and to still live a life, a full life, and just do all types of things that necessarily weren't deemed as chic. But we, every time we came into the house party, we were dressed in to the nines. So
right.
I think, you know, just being that example for people just to live their best life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you bring up Beyonce, and I think 2016 has been an exceptional year because not only has Beyonce released an album, Solange has just joined.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those two women, for me, are so inspiring in terms of, well, business, drive, ambition, the legacy she's creating for herself in terms of Beyonce. That's all very inspiring. But mm-hmm. also in terms of the images of black women and style and femininity that they're creating,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's so powerful. And what I think is so interesting is Solange very much has her own thing. Like, she has her own lane,
mm-hmm.
and it's she's created a style that's very unique to her. Like, you don't feel like she's copying anyone. And then Beyonce has her own lane. Between the two Knowles sisters, and I hate to make you pick, but who would you say for you is more of a style icon?
Solange. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Style icon, for sure.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure. Everything just natural for her. She takes risks. She definitely has the style heartbeat
mm-hmm.
in that family.
Yep. And taking risks, so it's interesting because to have truly great style, you do have to take risks. And she actually does because she doesn't.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Always look. I mean, I've seen her in some things where I'm like, that didn't really work out.
Right.
But she's tried, you know, and that's what makes someone have good style to like truly great style when you do take those risks.
Yes.
Beyonce, though, what I really admire about her is she is so classically beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, she understands what it means to just be beautiful with like clear skin. And I sold the wigs that she wears. I have never in my life seen anything. I mean, you see her performing and dancing and whipping her hair. I mean,
everything's in place.
When she's, you know, on a yacht diving in the water, it's like, where do you find these wigs? Who
right.
is looming these, like, magical wigs for you? But I think that she always, I've never seen her have an off. I mean, she always looks so beautiful.
Yes, for
and
sure.
And she dresses to complement her figure, and she just has this allure about her that's kind of untouchable.
Now, my other style go-to is, and I know people may or may not like
we're,
this.
We're going to go into Kim.
Kim Kardashian West.
Okay.
She is...
This is where we diverge, but I want to hear. I want to hear.
I adore the risk that she takes more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything doesn't work out, but she understands beauty. She understands hair. She understands fitness. She understands jewels. She understands... Like, she is my spirit mother.
Okay. So,
I don't want to say sister. I want to give her her flowers. She is my
yeah.
spirit mother. And I think her and Kanye are perfection together. I think they're the same people.
Oh, they were made for each other. You know how they say everyone has like their soulmate, someone like they were made for each other.
Oh, for sure. They are the same person.
Okay. So Kanye has obviously influenced her style a lot.
Absolutely.
And I think her style has become infinitely better since they've been together. So I think she is beautiful and she understands beauty to a degree that with like a precision that a scientist or a nurse or I mean she understands every single angle of her face, every single shade of eyeshadow. I think that what I've seen is her style has become much more pared down and simple since she's been with Kanye. So one of the things I noticed was she stopped wearing like so many tracks in her hair. This was maybe like 2 years ago when she started like doing less extensions, less like fake eyelashes, and you actually got to see like how truly beautiful
right.
she is. But and now I feel bad talking about her because of what happened to her in Paris. But I do feel like
security is a must.
I know, but I do feel like you know there were a few things that she wore at Paris Fashion Week that just felt so desperately like she was trying to be like Rihanna or trying to go into a lane that wasn't really her lane to go in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking like? I'm thinking of specifically like those Adidas track pants.
With the lingerie.
And I'm just like, what is this? Did Kanye approve this? Maybe he did. And sometimes I feel like he's putting her in stuff that he thinks is cool and it's a concept that maybe he saw in W Magazine or V. And she's a real woman and it doesn't necessarily translate.
Right. He's definitely her creative director.
Right.
In all things.
Yeah. And I think he's done a good job for the most part. But I do, sometimes I see her things and I'm like, what is this?
Kanye and Kim are the type of people where when they get it, they get it. When they don't, they
don't. When they don't, yeah. And that goes back to the thing about taking risks.
I mean, I love Kanye to death. His personal fashion line, I'm not sure.
Right.
I always look at clothes and say, where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
Can you translate that into your corporate job? Let's be clear. There are, and this is probably going too far left, there are 75.6 million millennials. And we have a buying power of like $1.63 trillion. So at the end of the day, we're not these, we have to have jobs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Real jobs.
Right.
Whether that be corporate, whether that be finance. So whenever we're investing in clothing, my first question is, where are you wearing this to? Are you wearing this to the office? Where are you wearing spandex to? Like, are you, like, I just don't understand what's the story. Like,
right.
Where are you going? You're very limited to what you're doing, unless you want to be one of these creative kids walking around New York all day. But it's like, okay, you have to walk to somebody's job. So it's always interesting when I see fashion that doesn't really necessarily translate
mm-hmm.
into anything. Because my first question is like, okay, where are you going? So obviously, their profession allows them to wear.
Right. But then other people emulate.
Yeah.
And that's when it goes wrong. And you see these
correct.
Women walking around with like these overly contoured faces and these crazy outfits. And you're like,
are you
filming
going?
A reality
right.
show
right
now? Right. Are the e-cameras behind you? Because I don't really understand this look in the context of you working in a corporate office or anything else for that matter.
Correct.
So, I guess her style works for who she is. She has become this, you know, probably the most defining style icon of our generation.
Absolutely.
And she has been for a while.
Yeah, it works for her. But whenever people see it, I've seen people wear these dog collars, and I'm just
God.
But, you know, it's the influence. I get it. People want to emulate her, but I just wish people would not emulate people so much and just kind of
define their own thing. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
They're definitely my go-to. And Brianna. Like, she's...
Oh, Brianna is perfection. Mm-hmm. She is truly perfection. She has the ability to look cool, edgy, sexy, fashion-forward, but without looking overly trendy, to change it up so much.
Yeah.
She is just... And probably one of the most beautiful women
ever. You can tell the people that really hold fashion close to their heart are the ones that are like the Rihannas and
mm-hmm.
like the Kims and Solanges of the world.
Yeah, no,
they
that's
take
true.
It for real. It's serious.
That's true. And, you know, I saw Kim at the VMAs, and she's the tiniest thing you'll ever see. I mean, she's like petite, but obviously curvy. And her face is so beautiful
mm-hmm.
and so perfect. And you're like, how does someone have a face like that? But this goes into our discussion about skincare and facial cosmetics.
So I'm obsessed with Kim's face. And the reason why I say that is because I, luckily for me, there aren't any before pictures. But with like a Kim, you can see the before and then kind of like, you know, something's gotten done.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it. I think anything that makes you look better, feel better, then go for it. Because these resources are available to us.
Right, and so I told you tomorrow Saturday, I'm so excited. I'm going to a doctor here in Chelsea to do Restylane
mm-hmm.
under my eyes.
Yes.
Which I'm really excited about because it's honestly not even like an anti-aging thing. I've had hollows that create shadows under my eyes since I was younger. It's like my facial structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm trying to beat the clock or do anything crazy.
Right.
It's like, oh, I have this option to correct something that makeup can't really correct. Makeup can cover up, but it can't, like, fill in and plump up an area.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm really excited about, you know, the possibility of Restylane. But before I, like, researched it, and I don't really know what the catalyst was for me looking into it, I think it was just the fact that, like, everyone has a little something done, and I just kind of looked into it.
Right.
Now that I've been exposed to this, I also, like, look at pictures of people like a Kim, and I'm like, oh, that's why your face is so perfect.
Right.
But it works if it's done in a way that's not over the top.
Correct. I had recently got Botox. I was turning a year older this year, and I saw wrinkles, and I didn't. I was like, oh, what is this? This is what they mean when they talk about aging, because I've been blessed not to really age. So I looked online, and I looked for, like, creams and wrinkles, and I saw these Sephora reviews, and I went to all these different things, and I said, I don't know which one to trust.
Yeah.
Some of the reviews were like, oh, this cream's amazing. Some was like, it's a waste of money. So the creams are quite expensive, and I don't have 6 months to wait to see results.
No, sometimes it's like, they're like, use this every day, morning and night, for 3 years to see results. Yeah.
Not happening. So I said, well, I used to always go to the dermatologist, when I was younger. So I said, well, let me just make an appointment and let me just talk to the doctor. So I made an appointment, and I told her what my concerns were, and she said, oh, we can do Botox and we can do this and we can do that. Just very casually.
Yeah.
And she did it. And the results were immediate.
Yeah,
and I
said,
oh, I will never, ever, ever purchase any beauty product over the counter. Like anything, everything will be prescribed by a doctor. So when you have the resources to do those things, it benefits you because it makes you feel younger, makes you feel better, and it essentially, you know, makes you feel good. And I think it's available.
Yeah.
Everyone should have a doctor on their speed dial.
Right. I think one of the concerns that people have, so two things. One, I think people don't like to talk about it, which
mm-hmm.
is why I'm really happy that we're talking about it. There was a story in the New York Times a few weeks ago. It was the president of Barnard College, which is
mm-hmm.
this very progressive women's college, and she was talking about maybe a little bit of shame that she had about getting Botox, and like it's this almost open secret. All these professional women and you know, very well-educated, smart, accomplished women are getting Botox, they're getting Restylane, they're getting fillers, but they don't want to talk about it. But we wouldn't say anything about getting our hair dyed or putting on makeup or doing anything else for our self-improvement. It just feels like cosmetic surgery is still this... It's like an open secret. People know that other people do it, but they don't announce it and come out with it.
I think with plastic surgery, what happens is, and I could be wrong, is that it makes procedures can sometimes make people think others are insecure. So I think with like makeup, it's a normal thing to do makeup. It's a normal thing to have hair. But when you start tweaking, it's like, oh, is she unhappy? Oh, does she not like the way that she looks? Oh, is she trying to be what? Like, it's so many, oh. And you're just like, no, I just didn't want a wrinkle. So I think at the end of the day, and we've seen it through pop culture, Michael Jackson, Little Kim,
well,
all these
yeah.
people with deeper issues.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
Like, let's call a thing a thing.
Right.
Michael was born probably a little darker than you.
Right.
He's now Beyonce. Well, he was, you know, a white woman's color.
Right.
So I think obviously there was something happening. So whenever people get work done, it's kind of taboo. Oh, she's battling insecurity. She
mm-hmm.
has image issues. So I think it's easy for people just to not discuss it because you're opening up a door that necessarily may not be, you know, true.
Right.
That's what I think when
right.
it comes to like plastic surgery. Because people really don't talk about it.
It's true. And, you know, I spoke to my husband and I spoke to my mom about wanting to get this done. And they were like, you're so beautiful the way you are. Like, you don't need this. You don't need this. And it's like, okay, but I want it for me.
Right.
It's not, I don't think I need it.
You don't need a Chanel purse.
Right. But I want it.
But you want it.
I want it. And I'm going to feel better when it's done. I think the other thing that's scary for people is losing sight of what looks normal. Because those
right.
examples that you gave, Michael Jackson, Lil' Kim, they
right.
have clearly lost touch with reality.
For sure.
When the work is good, and I don't know what Halle Berry does. I'm not her doctor. I don't know. I'm not good at like clocking these things necessarily.
I'm good at clocking it.
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how old she is. She's like 46. Or,
yeah.
I mean, she looks amazing. So whatever she's doing to look amazing, it's working and it's natural.
Right.
Kylie, I don't know if she's a good example. Kim, I think, is a great example. Kim looks amazing.
Yes.
So I think that one of people's fears is, you know, am I going to start to look like a freak? Like, am I going to start to look weird? And then I'm going to keep getting it done and then I'm going to lose sight of what's normal.
It could be addicting for sure.
Right.
So I think if you have an addictive personality, then it could become a problem.
Yeah.
If you over, you know, being addiction in any form,
right.
alcohol, drugs. So when you start seeing immediate results, you get addicted to it. But I think if your personality isn't addictive, then you kind of, and then having a great team of doctors, two of the doctors that I go to see, they were like, oh, we're only going to do this amount today because we don't want it to look like they take pride. And she, first question she asked me, she said, oh, what did you want? Like, show me somebody you want to look like. And I said, I don't have no picture. I just want to
look
be
like me.
She was like, okay, good. I was just testing you just to kind of see if
oh,
I was crazy
wow.
or not. Yeah, because if it was like, oh, here's a picture of Michael. I kind of want this and that. That she would have been like, so let me.
So that's like their test. Interesting.
Right. Because when she said it, I was just like, wait, was I supposed to bring magazines? Photos of people, and I was like, I don't want to look at anybody. I just want these wrinkles to be gone. And she was like, okay, I feel better. So essentially just having a doctor not give you, not to overdo the work.
Right. So is Botox painful?
No. So with wrestling, they put this numbing cream on your face for about an hour.
Okay.
And then they inject it, like, where your cheekbones are. And then they kind of...
Oh, they do it on the cheekbones.
Yeah, like, right here. On the cheekbones, right here. And then, because it's going up here. So when they shoot it up, they then take this little wand machine and then they kind of press it out and kind of play with it.
Oh, they like sculpt it on your face?
Yes.
Does that feel weird? Can you feel, oh, you have the numbing cream.
You have the numbing cream on. So they sculpt, a good doctor will sculpt everything and then she'll put, you know, the Botox where it needs to go, and she kind of sculpted it. So it's really just about erasing the lines and the puffiness, and it just kind of smooths everything out. So it's actually a quick procedure. It's nothing, you know.
There's no,
crazy.
Like, healing time?
Like, a day. I mean, you'll be puffy maybe a day or two. Depends on, like, your
right.
skin reaction. Different people react to different things. But when I went to the dermatologist, I brought one of my friends. She went and got it done. And immediately I saw the results. Like, it was.
Where did she get it done?
She got it done at my place, Dr. Suzanne.
But what part of her
face?
Oh,
under her eyes.
Under her eyes? You
yes.
can get Botox under your eyes?
Yes, I got them. They put it under your teardrops.
So what does that do? That makes it so that you don't have lines under your eyes?
Correct. So this area under the eye and then under here are two different areas.
Uh-huh.
So this area I got Botox, and then when I go back, I have to get the wrestling, because you couldn't do both at the same time.
So you can't do wrestling and Botox within the same...
within the same visit, because it's the eye area, and it's just too much, yeah. And then you don't know if you're going to react a certain kind of way, and you don't want to look like you got into a fight. So they do it in steps. And any good doctor will not make you get everything done at once. So it's really about investing in people that you trust, and that also trust you walking around being, you know, their work of art. So I enjoy cosmetic surgery. I think when it's done tastefully and you can't really tell.
Right, yeah, no. All I know is you look amazing. I'm not looking at you like, oh, he's got wrestling and Botox. I mean, it's just like, oh,
right,
this ageless face.
And I saw Kim Kylie. That's her name, right?
Kylie, the one with the lips?
Yes. I saw her transformation and I said, now I've always wanted like a little pouty lip. So, when I went to the doctor, I said, oh, so I want a little wrestling in my lip. And then she kind of, she put it in, and they were huge at first, and they kind of go down. But I wanted it where it didn't look like anything, but then it had a little soft pillow pop.
It looks amazing.
So, I mean, I didn't walk out looking, you know, crazy. But the idea is to do things tastefully where you can't really tell. Because you don't want to look like you've gotten work done. You just want to look refreshed.
Right.
And rejuvenated. And those resources are available. So instead of me buying some plumping lip gloss at CVS that has like cinnamon in it and it makes me think that it...
Right, it's just your lips... You're basically just having an allergic, so your lips are like getting inflamed from...
You're wearing cinnamon lip gloss, yeah. Right. Like, your lips necessarily didn't get any bigger. So I think just those small things of being able to say, okay, I just want one syringe of wrestling, not two... Because two is when it gets, like, Jenner, two or three. So just keeping it, like, simple and just seeing...
Less is more, maybe starting out with, like, less than you think you need and then building from there.
Yeah, they build everything. Yeah, they build everything. They put it in your lip and then she kind of takes her fingers and kind of builds it up. It's like a work of art. Like, they're like architects.
Wow.
It's amazing. Like, when I went, I said I should have done this years ago. Because I was always insecure about the lines that were coming under my eyes.
Oh, God.
And I told the doctor, I said, you know, it's really an insecurity of mine. Like, I need to get this fixed. And she was like, oh, this is easy fix. And, you know, Botox lasts for about 4 months maybe or longer. But going, getting it tweaked, just the money that you spend on that, it's bar none to the overall, you know, effect. Because we buy... other things that we necessarily don't need. So.
Right. And some people could say it's absurd that you are, at this young age, insecure about lines under your eyes, because that's what human beings have. You know, when you look at a magazine, they've all been airbrushed, so of course they don't have lines. However, if you are buying concealer or eye cream, that is also showing that you don't want those lines to be there, and this is just a more effective way of removing them. But for some reason, people that get cosmetic surgery are saying is like insane, well not insane, extreme for removing their lines that way. But if you use a nightly eye cream and you're hoping that they'll go away over, you know, the next few months, that's seen as somehow different.
I think when I did my stuff, I didn't tell anyone until after, because I, whenever you listen to people's opinions, sometimes people are unhappy. So
they don't want you to.
So it's like, if I'm telling my friends, oh, I'm thinking about this getting done, and they're asking me 101 questions, and I'm like, well, first of all, I don't have the answer to you. So I just sent photos after I got everything done, and they were like, oh my God, I can't believe you really went through with it. Because I made a joke to, I don't know if you like me, but I speak to a group text message with friends. Like,
everyone, we all in the same group message.
And I was like, I'm going to get this done. And they thought I was just, you know, BSing. And then when I sent them the photos, like, oh my God, I cannot believe you actually just got that done. And I'm like, why would you not be surprised? I've executed everything that I've set out.
Yeah.
I mean, you wanted to get married in Italy to the man of your dreams, and Vogue covered it. So, like, why would it be so crazy that you got wrestling? Like, that's, it's easy to get wrestling than it is to plan a wedding.
Right.
So I think, you know, whenever you have those open conversations with people, you have to kind of see where they're coming from. And they may be, you know, they may not have the courage to fix things that they've been dealing with. So I think... when I tell my friends, I want the reaction of like, okay, do you need me to take you to the doctor or do you need me to pick you up?
Right, right.
Like, what do you need from me?
Right, right. Not a speech about, oh, you don't need
this. You don't need that. You look fine. It's just like, sweetie, I don't need the Ayana Van Zant talk. Like, I'm complete. I'm whole. I understand life and its purpose.
Right.
But in the meantime, today, I want these lines to be gone.
Right.
And they'll be gone by 5 o'clock.
Right. Right. Well, I'm so happy that you're open and willing to talk about it, because I think the more we talk about it and the more open it becomes, the less it will become this thing that's seen as taboo or extreme.
Right, absolutely.
So this is a question that I ask all of my guests at the end of each episode. When do you feel most beautiful?
I think whenever I get up, I feel most, I enjoy the mercy of having another shot at correcting things that, you know, we may or may not have done right. So I just like the sunshine. I feel best and complete when I wake up because I know I have another day, a fresh start to, you know, get back into it and continue to fight for my dreams and my passions. And I think, you know, as a millennial, I used to be a really socially connected person. I used to Instagram every day, all day. I was that type of person. And then I kind of just stepped back a little bit because I was doing things to impress people, per se. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of pressure of having to always be out at the parties, or always know the right people, always be, you know, dressed the best. So I just kind of just was like, let me just focus on me and try to just see what I want out of life and not really care about likes or, you know, popularity. So then when I emerged, I feel like I was like emerged from the ashes, then I was able to do it from a more confident place where I'm doing things on my terms the way that I want to do it. And if you like it or not, that's to your discretion. But I think I feel my most beautiful early in the morning before I've gotten like a crack at the day. And just excited for the limitless possibilities that the day has to hold.
That's a really powerful answer. I think that when we tap into the potential that we have, and I guess that happens each morning, that makes you feel great.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely.
This was a wonderful episode, and I hope we can record again.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And we'll do an update after I do my Restylane transformation.
Please. Show pictures.
All right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.